For tonight, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 6. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Amen. We live in a world in which anxiety, worry, troublesomeness are very prevalent. You see, humanly speaking, there are some very serious issues that we're facing. There's some very serious issues that we have, globally speaking. One of them is poverty. 3/4 of the world live in poverty, while 10% live in extreme poverty. In those countries, in those places, people make less than $1.9 a day. With that issue comes also the lack of health, nutrition, education, sanitation, housing. Lack of fresh water. Another issue we have, globally speaking, is the political issue. There's political polarization. There is lack of government accountability. Distrust in the government. 1 in 5 people in the United States do not fully trust the government, one statistic said. Then there's lack of safety. You cannot just go wherever you want at whatever time you want, because it's dangerous. When your baby is born in the hospital, right after it's born, it gets an electronic security tag so that no one would take your baby away. And if they would try, they would hear a loud alarm in the hospital, right? Lack of proper education in certain parts of the world. Another issue, resource depletion. Genesis 2:15, the word of God says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. Instead, we are consuming our resources faster than they can replenish. Examples of that is deforestation, pollution, contamination of our resources, and overconsumption. And then last but not least, there is a spiritual issue in this world. Apostasy, secularization, or to put it in the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 24:12, lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. Humanity is facing serious issues nowadays. And the Lord Jesus Christ said then and says now, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, how can you say something like this? How can you tell a person and say, hey, don't worry? Because you see, when we talk about Worry is not something that you just switch off. Oh, don't worry. Okay, no problem. Thank you so much. I won't worry anymore from now on. It doesn't work like that, right? You need something bigger than your issue so that you can stop worrying. You need something real. You need something reassuring, something trustworthy. And look what Jesus says. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Jesus gives us something bigger than our issues. Jesus gives us something greater than our problems. He says, trust in me. Trust in my Father in heaven. Trust in God. The Lord wants to give us a new perspective. You see, according to this worldview, everything is now. Because according to this worldview that is very prevalent in these days, there is nothing after this life on earth. And so you have to live your life however you want, but you need to remember that you only have this life. And if someone is in a very hopeless situation, if someone is among those 10% living with his entire family, with his four siblings and his parents in a one-bedroom apartment somewhere in South Africa, well, life is pretty sad for that person. And there is nothing to give him joy. According to this worldview, life is pretty hopeless for a lot of people. Because according to this worldview, there is nothing after. If you live according to this worldview, then it doesn't really matter what character you have when you're by yourself, when no one sees you, because there is no one to hold you accountable for what you are doing, from the way you truly are in your heart. There is no one who sees you from heaven. But you see, there is. Jesus shows us that there is a place where there will be no more poverty. There is a place where there will be no more lack of health, education, sanitation, and housing. There's a place where there will be no more tears. There's a place where only God's justice and love rules, and where joy abounds. This place is called home. And Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to go and prepare this place for you. You see, C.S. Lewis once said, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We were made for another world. And so Jesus continues in verse 2 and says, there is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. And I like Thomas because, you see, he's confused here, but he's honest. And he responds and says, no, we don't, Lord. We don't know, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus makes this radical statement. I am the way. I am the way. You see, up to this point, Thomas has spent about 3 years with Jesus. He saw Jesus heal the blind. He saw Jesus multiply the bread and the fish. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Jesus calm the storm. He saw Jesus heal many sick. He saw Jesus cast out demons. He saw Jesus even raise Lazarus from the death. He saw Jesus a lot of things. He saw Jesus do a lot of things, but you see, Jesus did not take Thomas so that he will only see what he can do. Jesus took Thomas along so that he would see who he is, so that Thomas would see who Jesus is. Remember those two disciples who walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus? 7 miles. To walk 7 miles with the Son of God and to have no clue that you're talking to the Son of God. And if they hadn't been polite and invited him into his home, into their home, they would have never known that they were talking to the Son of God. Remember when you read in the Bible about the people of Israel and the fact that they were fed supernaturally every single day? Every single day, manna would fall from heaven, and on the sixth day, they would get a double portion so they could rest on the Sabbath. They've seen so many miracles. And then when they get to the border, to the promised land, when they get to the border to home, they're afraid. They're afraid, and they want to turn back to Egypt. They wanted to turn back to Egypt because although they had left Egypt, Egypt had not left their hearts and their minds. They were amazed by what God can do, but they had no desire to see his face. There was one amongst them who wanted to see God's face. Moses wanted to see God's face. Moses wanted Jesus to lead them. Moses wanted God to lead the nation. Moses wouldn't have gone anywhere without God. But the people of Israel, the nation of Israel at that time, they didn't really care about what God's plan is. They were at the border, and they got afraid, and they said, you know what? Let's just return to Egypt. But Moses said, no, that's not God's plan. This is the promised land that God has prepared for us. This is the place where we need to go. This is the country that we need to conquer. This is the promised land that God has prepared for us. But when you do not look at God's face, you will not know. You will not have the trust to move on. You will get afraid and run. I pray to the Lord that He might open our eyes tonight and see that there is reason why we live. The reason why we are where we are is because of Jesus. And that we're not in a hopeless situation. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the one who brings you from earth to heaven. Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It is Jesus. Jesus is the way. And He is the only way. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And you might say tonight, okay, that's great. But you see, I'm in a place, I'm in a hopeless place. I got lost. I'm at a dead end. How am I gonna find this way? How am I gonna get there? I want to tell you something tonight. Jesus is not only the way, he's not only the only way, but he is the way maker. If you truly desire Jesus, if you truly desire to follow God, he will come where you're at and he will pick you up, turn you around and put you on solid ground. He will lead you where you have to go. You just need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the way maker. He is the way. Two, I am the truth. Jesus does not say, I am a truth. People around you might say, well, yeah, of course, he's truth. He is a truth. I mean, come on, don't be so stubborn. Don't be so fundamental. Wake up. Don't you realize the world you're living in? Let's coexist. All the ways lead up to the top of the mountain. This is not what the Bible teaches us. Jesus is not just a truth, he is the truth. I am the truth. You see, in life, the way you view Jesus will ultimately dictate the way you view yourself. And the way you view yourself will determine how you will live your life. And so the reason why many people don't have a relationship with God is not because God doesn't want to have a relationship with them. It is because they have a wrong perspective on what truth really is. They have a wrong perspective on the truth of God. There's at least three misconceptions. There is way more. I'm just going to present you three tonight. First one, if you view God as a tyrannical judge who just can't wait to strike you every time you mess up, who's following you, and then he noticed, oh, look, he failed again. Let's strike him right now. If this is the way you view God, I think you're not going to go to God. You're going to run away from him. You're not going to want to have a relationship with him. You're going to hide somewhere, because you will live with fear. You will live with shame. You will live with guilt, because you know that this God is powerful and he wants to strike me. He wants to judge me. Is this what the Word of God teaches? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Isaiah 54:10. This is the God who we serve. A God who has compassion. A God who cares. A God who loves you. Misconception two. Yeah, that's right. God is love. He's more than that. He's my buddy. You know, we talk to each other a lot and we go along so well. He just accepts me the way I am. I talk to him, I pray, and he just gives me this light. And I just know what I need to do. I know there's people who come and say, you know, man, the Bible is important because the Bible is the standard by which you need to live, but I have a better relationship. I'm at a different level. I just know my God so well. The Bible is old-fashioned. The Bible is outdated. You don't need that stuff anymore that's written there. Me and God, we're at a different level. We're buddies. he doesn't really care so much about sin, as people might say. Those people are fundamentalists. They don't know what they're talking about. God is accepting God's love. Have you heard that before? Some people might say that, right? To excuse their sin. But you see, the response to that is, well, Jesus cares so much about your sin that he had to die for it. So stop playing games with sin, because sin will destroy you from inside out. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Yes, he loves you, but yes, he's also the Lord. He is God. We need to have reverence and respect before him. Misconception 3, maybe not that prevalent anymore, especially not among churchgoers, people who actively come to the house of the Lord. But people in this world still have this view of God, that he's a deistic God. A God who is somewhere very far away, who has established this universe and who puts some very clear, rational, comprehensible, moral, and natural laws, but now stays at a distance and is not intervening in human affairs. This is not the God we serve. Revelations 3:20, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Jesus kept talking to the people around him while he was on earth, and he wanted to show them the truth. He pointed towards his Father, and he kept speaking about his Father in heaven and about his kingdom, because he wanted people to understand and to believe that he is the one. And so in John 8, 31 and 32, we have this statement that we hear so often: the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Don't worry, brother, the truth will set you free. But this is not all that's written in here. If we read from the beginning, it says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." Remain faithful to my teachings. And then, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You will know the truth. You want the truth to set you free? Well, you need to know the truth. And then you need to apply the truth. Because if the truth, if the scripture is sitting somewhere on your bookshelf, it will not set you free if you don't let Jesus conquer your life and be Lord. You need to know the truth, and the truth will indeed set you free. "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth," John 17, 17. And then 3, "I am the life." I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. "Since I live, you also will live." If darkness is the absence of light, then death is the absence of life. In other words, without Jesus, who is life, there is no life, there is death. Because he is the true life. So then, why do so many people not want to accept this life? Because you see, a lot of people in this world are alive. They exist, but they're not truly alive. they do not truly live. They just exist. They exist. And so I thought about this, and I'm going to give you two reasons tonight. One of the reasons why a lot of people just exist and they don't want to live, they don't want to truly live, is because they have a different expectation of what life truly means. Your expectations can blind you from the life you're supposed to live. The disciples were accompanied by the source of life, by the one who was and is the Son of God. For some reason, they were still waiting on that other life, on that life, that freedom. What freedom? What were the Jews waiting for in those days? Why were they so confused and so troubled? Because they kept hearing Jesus talking about, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna be crucified. Wait, Jesus, we're still not free. Free from what? We're free from the Romans. Because that's what they were waiting for. They wanted to be freed from the Roman rulership. They were waiting for that second Solomon, who would just destroy all the enemies and live in peace. Your expectations can blind you, because if you don't see life the way God sees life, you're gonna wait for something that will never happen. They wanted another liberator. They just wanted another one to come and just destroy the Roman rulership. But Jesus had greater plans for them. Because you see, God's plans are higher than our plans. And God's will is greater than our will. Jesus didn't just want to fix the problem, the problems around them. He wanted to fix the problem within them. Jesus did not come on earth so that you have a better life. He came to earth so that you have eternal life. Jesus came to solve the problem, the biggest problem that humanity has. The problem of sin. The problem of sin. When the problem of sin is resolved, when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you will experience joy. You will experience hope. And then it doesn't matter if the Romans rule or the Greeks. In your heart, there will be joy, there will be hope, there will be peace. The chains will fall and nothing on earth can enslave you. The joy of the Lord Jesus Christ will be within your heart. And no one will be able to take that away, because God Himself put it there through the Son, through His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. What God puts in you, humans can never take out. The joy that the Lord puts in your heart, no one on this earth can take away. If you just trust in the Lord as your Savior, if you just trust in God, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 3:36. And then the second reason is a lot of people never get to live because they don't want to die first. If you want to live, first you need to die. Die to what? die to sin, to the sinful nature, to the old life. It is your job to come and surrender. It is your job to repent. That's your part. It's God's job to resurrect you from the dead and raise you and give you a new life. And he did that in Jesus Christ, and we know that. So what are you waiting for? Why are you still waiting? Come to Jesus. Put your life at his feet. Surrender your life to him. Live a new life. The life that he meant for you from the moment he created you. He wants you to live a new life. In the power and grace of his son, Jesus Christ. He didn't come so that you may have a better life, an easier life. He came so that you may have eternal life, so that you may spend your eternity with him in heaven. This is the good news of the gospel, freed from sin, freed from evil, and full with the Holy Spirit and the joy that comes only from the Lord. Has anyone in this place ever experienced that joy? Is that the reason maybe why you're here tonight? Is that the reason maybe why you worship the Lord? Because this is the reason why I am here. Because he is good and he will continue to be good. And whatever people say and whatever people do, I know who is my Lord. I know who is my Savior. And first and foremost, I serve my Lord Jesus Christ. And if people say, hey, that's great, that's cool, that's awesome that you serve the Lord. Or if they say, hey, you know what? I don't care about you anymore. I never liked the way you sing. I never liked the way you play the piano. I say, well, it's okay. Because first and foremost, I haven't played it for you. I have played for my Lord Jesus Christ. And if I was a blessing for someone in this place, then praise God. But you see, thanks God, there's still people of God in the church. We always know that there is wolves. There will always be wolves. This is the truth. But you serve the Lord first and foremost. And do not ever forget that. Whatever you do, whatever you have done, the Lord sees you. Never forget that. The Lord sees you. The Lord knows. The Lord puts it in his book. When my grandma was about to go to Jesus, we all knew she's going to pass. It didn't happen long ago. She was not a person that influenced hundreds of people. She could barely walk from a very young age because she had that sickness where her bones were just having that friction and she could not walk from a very young age. And her husband died. My dad was 8 years old when he lost his father. And she couldn't even walk, and she raised 6 children. What do you say to a person like that? God has seen everything you did. Look at your children. You might not have influenced millions of people, but your children are in the house of the Lord. Your children serve God. Your children praise the Lord. What more joy do you want as a parent? What more joy do you want as a grandparent when you see that your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are serving the Lord? What do you want more in life? And although time has passed, I do want to close with a story. I'll try to make it short. Of a great man of God who knew that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has been influenced by the truth. When he was 16 years old, he was kidnapped, brought to Ireland as a slave. He had to stay there for 6 years. And then God worked in a miraculous way, and he managed to escape. Ireland, at that point, was a very sad place. A lot of mysticism, a lot of bad practices. People who served all kinds of gods, all kinds of spirits, but not the true God. And although he was in a very, very bad position while he was there, he still felt pity on those people who do so much for a lie, for something that's not real. They would even do human sacrifices for something that's not real. But because of the position he was in, he still desired to escape, and the Lord spoke to him in a dream, and then one day he managed to escape. He got to a boat that was about to leave the harbor. He threw himself on the knees in front of the captain and said, "Please take me with you." The captain didn't want to take him with him, but then two other people saw what happened. They were hiding him, and then when they left, they took him out. The captain had two possibilities. Let's throw him off the boat, or whatever. Let's just take him with him. We have another slave for this, for our way to Great Britain. And so he was happy to be their slave. He was used to be a slave for 6 years. He could manage to be the slave for that trip to Great Britain. But it so happened that there was a storm, and then they landed on the shore of Great Britain. The ship was wrecked. And so they landed on the shore, and for 3 days, they could not find any food. They were somewhere on the northern part of Great Britain towards Scotland. There was no one there. No food. And now the captain, who heard that this young man who now was about 22, was a Christian, said, "You keep talking about your God. Now let's see if your God is real." And I really liked this man. He didn't just get himself on the knees and started praying. He said, "My God will do a miracle, but first you need to give your life to Jesus." And the entire crew, captain to the least person there, all of them fell on their knees and gave their life to the Lord. It didn't take long. And some pigs just took a walk around them. No one was tending them, and suddenly they had food. He got home, and you can imagine how much joy and happiness there was in his home. No one knew what happened. He was gone for 6 years. He told them all the stories. Everyone was happy. Praise the Lord. And then one day something strange happens to this young man. He comes to his parents and says, "You know, there is a deep desire in my heart." "Well, what deep desire do you have, son?" "Well, you know, I want to go back to Ireland." "What are you talking about? Want to go back to Ireland?" "Yes, I want to go back to Ireland. Those people, they don't know the Lord. There is no one there to preach the gospel. There is no one there. I want to go back and tell them about the Lord." First, he went to France and studied for 5 years, and then he went to Ireland. He arrived in Ireland, and the first thing he did, he went to a big village and told him about the Lord. He went to the captain of the village and told him about the Lord. And God worked in such a miraculous way that the entire village turned to God. But life didn't go on like just, it was not, you know, life is not always just easy and nice. There came a lot of difficulty. a historian wrote about this man and said, for 12 times, they tried to kill him. He was even enslaved for a short time again. He was in prison. He was in constant danger. But God worked in a miraculous way, and for 40 years, he served Ireland and told people about the Lord. And historians say that tens of thousands of people turned to Jesus, turned to the Lord, because of one man. You know who I'm talking about? St. Patrick. That's true. You know church history. That's amazing. St. Patrick. And the last thing I want to read to you is the breastplate of St. Patrick. A man who has been through so much has left us with this beautiful poetry that is not just poetry, but it's the truth. And he said this, I bind unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. May God bless you all. Amen.